We've made a wrong turn, and Courtney and I are being chased by a mutant serial killer snowman. And it's Christmas Eve. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast.
Not again.
Not again. Damn, that was good. Not again. Oh, man. Hey, Courtney, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. It came quick.
It really snuck up on us. It's like a week away, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to do a bunch of Christmas shopping to do.
Same. And that's why I texted the other day. I was like, we should probably record that.
Yeah, let's just knock this one out.
And then, yeah, I mean, you know, we had a different idea at first. Like, we did kind of want to do something a little different, like not the classic, you know, horror holiday ones. But then last minute, we're like, fuck it. We're going to do Jack Frost. I love it. This is like right in the realm of like what shaped me. Like, we have Jack Frost, we have Leprechaun 3, and we have Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. That was like all like 97, 98, 99.
Okay. I mean, I like the list, and I realize it's probably going to look up backwards, but it says Happy Holidays, you know.
Yeah, that's good. It was a quick little doodle on your coffee cup.
You know, how about that one? Let's see for all the guests out there. If it reads backwards, that's for all my friends out there. That's not for you, Courtney.
Not for me. For not you. Your friend. Got it. I'm gonna go.
No. That message wasn't for you.
No, I know. It's a secret message for all your homies. I got you.
Okay, that's actually really good. What year would you say you watched this? Because now looking at like the year it came out, I'm like, I also think I watched this very close to the release time, and I was just like, what the fuck?
Well, you always do better research than I. But correct me,
I did no research this time.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it was just a made for TV thing. I do not think it had any theatrical release, and when you kind of watch it, it does look made on a budget, but made well on a budget. Like, I want to commend these guys. Like, it's decent. It's a cult following for a reason. But I do believe I saw it around the time it came out, which I believe was 98 or 99.
Yeah. It was released of December 1997, 1 year before the Michael Keaton Jack Frost.
Okay, which was so just this like, predates the Keaton.
This is the first Jack Frost of our childhood, you know, of our generation.
And like I told you the other day, I was like, the true horror is the Keaton one, because maybe I'm wrong, I have not given it a rewatch, but doesn't he die and come back as a snowman to like help his kid?
It's horrific. No, 100%. No, what do I get for Christmas? Like, the real people forget the original ending to that movie is the kid's insane and he just imagines the whole thing whatsoever because he's just so fractured because he lost his father around Christmas time. No, but that's my ending, and I think it's way better than the Michael Keaton, you know, high hopes Christmas time one. Yeah.
Yes. At least this one, you know exactly what you're getting into. Like, it just, it opens a really sadistic uncle, like, telling his niece this, like, crazy story about this serial killer.
But wasn't he, like, British? Wasn't it fucking, like, a British uncle telling, like, his American niece? Yeah, it was
and
weird.
And the kid voice was a little odd, too. It was creepy, though, so I was like, yeah, it's fine. It fits. And, like...
It does. Everything is really over the top for this movie, which is, it needs to be. And
for sure.
It answers the question on what happens when a serial killer's DNA gets mixed in with some chemicals and some snow.
Yeah.
You know, ask the real big questions.
We were always wondering that.
It's just a weird thing. I also saw this when I was very young, and for some reason I saw this a lot, and it's not like we had it on tape or anything. I think I rented it multiple times for some reason.
Me too, dude.
And I have no idea why.
I agree, because as a rewatch last night, I was like, there were parts where I was like, wait, what? And I was like, but I loved this when I was little. Because once again, like, there's a lot of comedic elements. It's all a campy, as we say. Like, it's a kind of a goofball time.
It is 100%. It's, like I said, we know exactly what it is. I guess we can just run over the synopsis of the movie real quick.
Yeah. you do that. You're better.
Well, like I said, it is Christmas Eve. And like we said, we have an uncle telling his niece a very scary story of Jack Frost, the serial killer, which is an awesome name regardless.
It is.
And how he was caught by the cops and then all of a sudden has his remains or his very superhero ending, very superhero origin story, where his genetic material gets mixed up with some chemicals and then he gets mixed up with some snow, obviously, and his DNA gets spliced and all of a sudden he is, for lack of a better term, like a serial killer, abominable snowman. And he goes around terrorizing the town and the sheriff that caught him right before his execution date, obviously, for revenge. And then mayhem ensues as a very powerful, overpowerful snowman.
Supernatural chaos. Snowman.
Supernatural slasher snowman.
And what I like about this guy, too, is there is no... like a true serial killer, no morals, no ethics. Like, he doesn't give a shit if you're a good person or whatever. He's like, oh, you're in my way. Done.
It's a very over the, like I said, everything is over the top. Even the performance by Scott McDonald as Jack Frost. Yeah. It was just like, he's like a everything is
cartoon.
It's also supposed to be like a light comedy or a sprinkled comedy into this horror movie. And everything is over the top. The angles are over the top. A lot of Dutch angles for some reason.
Yeah.
A lot of like crazy contrast lighting. They try to throw in like these little slapstick moments, like right before Jack Frost gets hit with the chemicals and he's about to kill somebody. He's just, everything pauses for a second. He's like, oh, this is gonna hurt.
And I'm like, oh no. Deer in the headlights.
Which I can appreciate more of that now than I could back then. Like the high camp of it, it was just like, all right, it's fair. I think these jokes didn't age very well in some of the parts. But like the over the top performances, I think are like still spot on.
Yeah. And like, I can tell too that like just my own like growth and healing, like when we meet the family who loses like Billy, which is not our first death technically, but he's the death of a child like right away.
Yeah, the Metzers.
And
the Metzers are fucked up regardless.
The Metzers are like, fucked up. They're a fucked up family. I think that's why I was like watching this and I'm like getting a little triggered by like the dad. I was like, ooh, like, yes, can't wait for 100%. You to die.
No. All right. So we're introduced to the whole town as the sheriff walks through, as he's reflecting on how Jack Frost is going to be executed or whatever. And then the whole town is introduced in one fell swoop. So we meet Billy, we meet Jill. I think his name is Billy. And then the kid that dies. Billy's the first one that, I think that Billy's the first one that dies or whatever. And he gets his, head chopped off by a sled. It's a solid good kill. Jack Frost is in there in the background. He just kind of pushes the kid over and the sled just kind of falls on his neck, whatever. But then we have the fallout of the dad like abusing his family. And remind you, Billy only got killed because Billy was a bully. And now we know why Billy was a bully, because his dad was a fucking asshole. Yes. And taking it out on everybody. His mom, Billy's mom, is not there consciously, and the dad is just kind of taking advantage of this poor woman. And mind you, Jill, Shannon Elizabeth, in her first performance ever.
Yay, Shannon Elizabeth. You know, I love her.
It gives the Oscar winning performance of saying that, like, it was just like, I'm out of here. It's like really, 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 really tries to like give it her all, but you really can't polish this turd.
You can't. But like, she clearly went on to have a successful career. So like, love her.
She did fine. She did fine. I only thought she got naked in this movie, but it was the version I saw only showed glimpses of it. And where did I get this movie? I rented it at my local library, because that's where I got it, because it's available.
Nice.
The only questionable scene that also didn't age well is Jill, Shannon Elizabeth's death scene. So let's just put it out there. Yeah. A little trigger warning for a little essay. But was it essay, or was it that she was just pushed to the death?
It's essay. It's implied. Like with the carrot nose.
Yeah.
It's implied. I did realize that they made an effort to say that she is 18. Like at some point, the sheriff or someone, because once her whole family's dead, they're like, oh no, Jill, like she's only 18. And I was like, well, thank you for that. Otherwise, I would have been even more upset. Like, even though it's still, again, trigger warning, it is essay. But
I kind of missed that this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure, because I was just like, I thought somebody had mentioned that she was like 15 or 16, and I'm like, oh, that makes it so much worse.
No, she is 18. She is of age, but again, doesn't make rape ever okay.
Oh, no. It is, like, even though I knew this back then, is like, oh, this doesn't seem right. It goes way farther than any other real slasher or movie kind of goes to, other than like the ultra gory ones or the ultra horrific ones or like the extreme ones, like I Spit on Your Grave and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like compared to like how light this movie's supposed to be, and it's then heavy. they go that route, and I'm like, kind of takes you out of it a little bit. Not aged very well.
Correct. You know? But what I will say is that when Shannon Elizabeth does her like meet and greets at like cons and stuff like that, she really embraces Jack Frost, because it is her first feature film. So again, props to her. Like, you know, she's a good actress, and so she doesn't hide it at all. She's like, yeah, I was in that movie, and I appreciate the fans that still really enjoy it.
But like you said, it has a cult following. Like, this is a ridiculous fucking movie. A mutant snowman inhabited by the personality or the consciousness of a serial killer goes around and terrorizing. It's like, what would happen be real nerdy, like, what if Iceman was a serial killer from, like, the X-Men or something like that? Like, this is a really powerful slasher, which I'm kind of like want to revisit some of like the ultra weird super slasher ones. I think there's one called like Gingerbread Man or something like that.
Ooh, let's do it
right now.
There is Jack Frost Part 2. I think he's like tropical.
Yeah. You mean Jack Frost 2, Revenge of the Killer Snowman?
Yeah. You're like, I watched it. Just kidding.
I saw the clip. Actually, I've seen like I've seen this on TV, and I'm like, oh my god, they made a part two. Same director and writer as the original, I think.
I need to give it a rewatch. I don't think I ever saw it in full.
You don't need to.
Okay, give it, you're saying no. All right. Well, it's on Tubi, so who knows? I might.
I mean, I think it's like it's only sets or whatever, but it's like they go tropical. I think it's everybody in the town that is traumatized from part one, or that they were able to get from part one, goes to a tropical vacation where they are followed by Jack Frost. And then all of a sudden there is snow on the island, and they're like, oh, look, it's snowing on the island. And then everybody gets killed and mayhem ensues. And I don't know how, but Jack Frost is able to reproduce, but then he has children. So there's all these little snowmen running around. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, he becomes like a deadbeat dad and he like leaves all of his kids behind. So this kids just cause mayhem. And then, cause there's like this joke, he's like, I have kids. And then he runs away and then he comes back and then his kids all die. And he's like, my kids.
It's like one of those things where you're like, well, I guess he's supernatural. So it makes sense.
I don't know how you would be able to
reproduce,
like, to stop him. Yeah, like
I thought we had the answer. It's antifreeze.
Mind you, cutting to the end where Jack Frost is defeated by antifreeze, and I don't even know if that's how antifreeze works, but other than just like it sounds like it would work.
It just sounds like it would work. You're like, sure.
Our deputy's son tries to keep his kid warm by putting antifreeze in his oatmeal. Like if this was any other movie.
This little shit kid. What's his name? Ryan?
I'll tell you right now. Who actually has a very decent career. He's did a little voiceover work. He's been a cinematographer on a lot of like TV. Like he's done all right for himself.
Yeah,
good for him.
But I guess it's a kid, but he is like a little stupid shit the entire time. You could put antifreeze in your dad's oatmeal.
Dude. Cool.
Like you would have killed him.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like you would have, he would have gone to the hospital. Like it would have been really, really bad. So like I said, and with the level of the camp, like I'm okay with the way Jack Frost looks in this movie. I hate the poster because the poster insinuates something. I think
he looks scarier.
He looks scarier. They gave him like a skull face.
But
he doesn't.
He looks like a very pleasant-ish snowman, I guess, for the eyebrows. But also, I was surprised on this rewatch. In the scene where he kills Jill's mother with like the Christmas lights and the Christmas bulb, which I think best death. Best death. Most gnarly besides Jill's.
That's probably the I want to say like that's the MVP kill of MVP of the movie, but for me
in that scene in particular I was surprised how large the snowman is, because like she's like maybe she's sitting or I don't know, but I was like at the perspective of it I was like, holy shit, this snowman's like 6'7".
He can be as big as he wants. That's the thing.
I guess you're right.
Let's get into the science of this. Woo! Let's get into the loose science of this. Like if this guy is this, like, oh, that's I just saw some weird taglines for like some of the parts that weren't very favorable, and I'm like, oh, that's awful. Sorry. Like he could do whatever he wants. He's a snowman. Like he could, if this had a better budget, they could have done some crazy stuff with this. Like, like he could make himself as big as he wants. He can make himself as small as he wants. He can turn himself into water. He can creep underneath doors. Can he evaporate and like go through the air? Can you breathe him in and he just pops out in your lungs and re-solidifies?
Oh, God.
Like
he's water. So
he's fucking water. Yeah.
He's water.
That's OP, he's very overpowered. Yeah, like it is. I do like it because it's just like when they're going through I do like the death scenes or like the post death scenes and them trying to detective their way through everything. Just that they're like, Billy's dad is just like, yeah, they forced this axe way through his throat. Like the force that would take for this is really, really powerful. And I'm like, yeah, Jack Frost is strong as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, like he's not going to get pushed out a window into a truck of antifreeze. I'm just saying, you know,
yeah.
Like at the ending scene where he pops out in the deputy's car, like it could have been super cool. He could just swarm you. He can just envelop you like he kind of does with Shannon Elizabeth. Fucking choke you out. You're fucking dead. Like it is kind of crazy. Like they could bring this back. Like considering how many other.
Yes.
You know,
you could get this movie a proper budget, and I don't know who you want to direct or attach to it, but you could like have this be fucking gnarly.
Well, obviously, I want Michael Cooney, no in relation to George Clooney, but you know.
But he's our Jack Frost, and he's gross. I like he fit this character like well.
No, he was a narrator. The guy who performed Jack Frost was Scott McDonald.
Okay, well, like, he's great too.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he was familiar.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they did try to go there with a couple of things, like him being able to, like, creep underneath walls with the water and the tension all of a sudden, just like, and I did like it how, you know, he's able to, like, as he was trying to, as the cop was trying to get his keys, you know, he just solidifies his arm and there's only, like, an arm coming out of the puddle of water. I mean, it's only as good as they could make it look. Obviously, it's just not great, but it's still, like, the imagination behind it is pretty good. But, like, he's able to, like, shoot icicles. He's able to, like, make icicle teeth and he chomps somebody's face off. Like, that that stuff's pretty great.
It is. And
not to mention later, once he gets antifreeze thrown at his face, he's just, like, a melted, like, mush. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
And suddenly, like, he does have blood, which is, like, interesting. Like, he does have organs in a way. We don't know.
Like, you're asking too many questions.
You're asking too many questions. You're right. This is a 1998 camp straight to TV Killer Snowman movie.
I'm like, yeah, that's you're right. Because, like, does that mean, like, yeah, because that means if you would hit him, would his organs get hurt? But his organs are tied in with, like, the water, or his DNA is tied in with the water. But the water gets, does that mean the water, what the fuck happens when water hits antifreeze? That's what I want to know.
Exactly. Like, again, I like the way you said it, where you're like, it just sounds right. So they went with it. 100%. Like, yeah, antifreeze. Oh, like
the blow dryer thing.
The blow dryer. This will melt them. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Again, though, I want to say props to these guys, though, for that time and that creativity that comes through in this. I appreciate. So that's what I still really enjoy about it. It just truly feels like something I would come up with, but they beat me to it. I was only 7.
It says that the director, Michael Cooney, got his idea for Jack Frost back in 1989 when he went to Big Bear Lake and they were building a snowman in the backyard. And he was inspired by movies such as Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and The Abyss. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, those are really high bars.
Yeah. And you got this, but cool dude.
Yeah.
So wait, but he really, what has Cooney done? Has he done anything of notice?
You mean other than Jack? What else
other
would
than
you
have? Our classic, amazing 10 out of 10 Jack Frost and
I'm
Jack
sorry,
Frost
sorry, Sophie. You peaked. That's it.
That was it for him. No, like,
what else did you want?
Yeah. Like, I just didn't know if he, like, just adventured off into other things and would, like, show up in a writer's room and he was like, I did Jack Frost.
It says that he directed both of these movies. Also, there was a tentative Jack Frost 3, Jackzilla, you know, which is a great title.
So, Supernatural times a billion? Like, what?
Like, see, a Godzilla
version? So, I'm assuming
version?
As big as Godzilla, but still a serial killer.
You know? Mm-hmm.
I can see why that one got scrapped.
The only other thing of note might have been, so he did direct a TV show called Center Stage. He wrote a few things. Most notable for us would probably be one called Six Souls and Identity, which, do you ever watch Identity? It's actually pretty good.
Oh, God. John Cusack?
Yeah, nailed it. Ray Liotta.
So,
funny
story about that movie. I did see it in theaters with my mom and my sister. So I don't know how old I was. But we saw it on May 10th. And the reason why I remember this is because that is everyone's birthday in that movie, because they all have that in common.
Well, you spoiler alert for a movie that's 21 years old.
I remember that so vividly because I was sitting in that theater and I was like, wait a second, today is May 10th. And I told my mom that and she was like, oh. I was like, what does this mean?
What does this mean? I had no idea, but James Mangold directed that movie, which is the director of Logan. And okay. He also directed Walk the Line. I didn't know he directed all these like other.
Identity's
like,
decent.
Movies.
I need to give it a rewatch.
Identity is good. Yeah. It's one of those like you watch it once mm-hmm. and you're just like it's pretty good. Like yeah, once the reveal happens, but it's still enjoyable on the way. Like it's got good performance. It's got a great cast. Like
yeah.
I don't know. I think some people hated on it, but I'm like, but maybe because we were like of a younger age when we watched
very
it,
influenced.
We're like. So it has that nostalgia factor for us, maybe. I never disliked it. Yeah.
I don't think I did either, but it's not one that I like rewatch or anything.
The reveal, right? Like once that happens, it kind of reminds, I think at the same time this other one came out called Vacancy or No Vacancy.
Oh, wait, is that Luke Wilson?
Yeah, I think.
Luke Wilson and I can't remember the actress, but yeah, they stay at a hotel and there's like psychos running this hotel. It's pretty good. I remember it being
it was like a 10-year difference. It just like it feels the same because they're like at both motels and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like,
maybe the Luke Wilson one is No Vacancy or Vacancy. I don't remember, but that is a decent one. I remember being creeped out because there was like tunnels and shit that they made to like kill people in their rooms.
It's called Vacancy. Hold on a second. Oh, 2007. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's like a 4-year difference, but like it had like the motel vibe. So I get them confused often.
Motels creep me out.
Oh, yeah. Motels are kind of creepy. So maybe mm-hmm. we'll put motels in for summer when people are on road trips for sure. You know, this year.
I like hotels. I think hotels are elegant and luxurious. They can be. I love a nice hotel stay. But for some reason, when we like go down to the motels, I'm like less enthusiastic.
For one birthday, for some reason, like my friends wanted to go wine drinking in Sonoma. And like in retrospect, I'm like, I don't want to go wine drinking. Like, it's not what I want to do for my birthday, but they wanted to go wine drinking.
And if you're birthday, like, wait, we gotta go. Drink wine?
I'm like, I drink a little bit of wine now, but like I drink more wine than beer. But I'm like, I'm not going to go to be like, oh, the minerals. You can really taste the earthiness, which just means the dirt in this wine. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. To bring it back around was that we stayed at a motel and I swear to God. All right. So problem with motels is that your doors are outside. Right. So it's just like, I like a 2-door situation. I like a 1 door to the building and I like my doors hidden inside these other maze of doors.
I also
in case of anything happens.
Deadbolt and then other locks.
I like a 2-lock situation. I'm 2 locks on my door and maybe a lock on the outer door of a building. Yeah. So there's a lot of doors. I'm just installing doors left and right here.
I need a lot of doors.
So this whole motel situation where just like there's a door out onto the street and anybody can just walk up, would just kind of freak me the fuck out. That's just the fear I have, right?
Yeah.
Real life horror, knock on wood. The part that creeped me out is I swore this hotel, motel, Holiday Inn was fucking haunted. Because it just had this fucking air of darkness by the door that anytime you turned off the light, it looked like somebody was standing there by just the way the shadows laid. Now, I'm not talking about like, oh, the coats hanging on the wall. Like, no, like it looked like the shadows formed a figure every time you turned off the light. Like there was just a dude standing there watching me sleep. And I'm like, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No. And
that was
like,
oh, I was like 32. It just stayed with
doesn't
me.
Doesn't matter.
No, no, no.
What
I was
age
like,
you are.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what. No, no, no. I was like, no, no. I'm, mind you, like, it was still very much a fear in my life that it was just like, it looked like there's somebody standing over there and it feels like there's somebody standing over there when I turn off these lights. And I'm just going to leave the light on. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. These days, I've like just kind of accepted that I am very energy sensitive. Call it woo-woo, call whatever you want. But there are times when I just know that I don't feel well. I feel unsettled and there isn't like a realistic answer. And I'm a rational person. Like, I want evidence. But there are just times where I'm like, you know what? I don't fucking feel right in this place. So I gotta go. Or like, that person doesn't fucking feel okay. And that's like, they haven't given me anything, but not interacting. So I don't know. I get it. You know,
well, you know, bringing it back around is just like, and probably somebody's murdered in this fucking motel. Just
yeah, you're like, it wasn't okay.
Probably. Yeah. Because why? Because the door is leading out right to the fucking street.
The just door. I just opened that door and it's right in the fucking street. Anybody can walk up here. Anyone can knock on it. Anyone can see you enter that door. And as a woman, I'm like, I don't want fucking some guy seeing me. Like, it is a real fear that women have. So, yeah.
It's a men real fear that women better. Have and men under 5'6". I'm just saying.
Yes. No, but it is. But anyway, Jack Frost.
I was going to bring it around to Jack Frost. There's nothing really much you could say about Liz. We already mentioned it. It's if you like high camp, Jack Frost, trigger warning for certain scenes that didn't age well. But Jack Frost is a fine watch. A 16%, which I don't know if it's the lowest rating that we've done on this podcast so far.
16.
On Rotten
Tomatoes. I don't think it deserves that. But is that Rotten Tomatoes or Google?
That's Rotten Tomatoes. That is that. That yeah, man. I think 16's fine. I think 16's fine.
Okay, like, fine. I mean, I'm not giving re-released. It that. Okay.
Like you said, there is a cult following for this movie. It was re-released on Vinegar Syndrome back in 2016, which is fine. like you said, like Michael Cooney, like he had a vision. He stuck with it.
He stuck because I'm
sure there's a lot of people. Like, could you imagine, like, you're telling your friends it's like 2006 or 2005 or 2000 and be like, Courtney. You know, like I know we're going to graduate high school soon, but I got an idea for a movie about a killer snowman, you know, who's genetically modified when he comes across these chemicals. Yeah, I'm just like, okay. Like, okay, Mike.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah.
Good luck. Mike's and you know what? Homeboy did it. Homeboy did it.
Thank you.
He made it happen. And guns. He even made a second one, which sucks even more.
Oh man! Oh, the second one definitely looks like
amazing. Okay, I'll take your word for it, and I won't give it a rewatch because as soon as you said that he has like little babies, I was like, I'm out.
That was the last.
I was like, I don't want to see fucking snowman babies when there isn't like a reason. Does he have a snowman girlfriend? Like,
I forgot how it happens. I forgot. I think. I don't know if he impregnates a victim. I don't know if it's the same thing, like another SA sort of a deal situation. I can't remember.
At least in like Bride of Chucky, he makes her a doll first, which, you know, still there isn't any science behind it. But at least you're like, okay. And at least they have a doll baby.
Well, it's magic.
Magic.
It's magic. Dun, dun, it's magic.
You just have to go with it.
But see, it's funny because the Chucky movies had like a little bit of a dip and then like a resurgence and then a TV show.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, man, they rode that wave really, really.
They kept really going hard. With like, it. People kept giving them money. And I like the Chucky franchise.
Yeah. Like I think I love 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think 4 is Bride of Chucky.
Is 3 Bride or is 4 Son?
4 is Bride.
Okay,
I think,
and then Son.
Which is called just Bride. And then it's Son of Chucky. And that's where it really dips.
That's where it turns. And you're like, what in holy hell is this?
But then it keeps going. And it has like a resurgence, and it has like these other three movies that are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They try to take it back. It's like less comedy than 4 and 5, and they try to get a little bit more serious. And then the TV show happens. And I don't know if the TV show has anything to do with the actual movie. It might actually.
I don't think so. And I totally appreciate when they like when they pulled back from the comedy. Because, I mean, we said all year, I enjoy the camp. I really love it. But in that Son of Chucky, it did lose me. Even as someone who loves a campy movie, I was like, you've kind of lost the essence of this freak.
It's just kind of, yeah, because I mean, I get it. Like in four is actually pretty good too.
Yeah.
Like four.
I like Bride of Chucky. I love Jennifer. What's her last name? Tilly. Love her. That voice is iconic and she's like sexy goth. Love her.
And like, I had a lot of good, had a lot of creep. Like he was a killer again. And like I said, and then in five, it gets a little weird, but I think some people still like five, but I wanted to bring up like the other few ones that let's see here. I mean, we're going off the rails here. This was supposed to be the,
it's the holiday one. Everyone, we touched on Jack Frost, but truly, like Edgar said, we just like, you just have to watch it. If you'd like, it has good kills. It's quick moving. You have to accept that a lot of it doesn't make sense. And just enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride.
So, did you ever get your Hoopla account for the library?
Yes, I do have the Hoopla account with my Minnesota library card. Because once you told me I could use any library card, I was like, oh.
So I think the last time I was telling you about like all these like free channels that show up on, on like the TV and whatnot. So like the Tubi has the free horror channel. Pluto has a free horror channel. But then on your Hoopla account, you can get like a 7-day pass to Midnight Pulp, which is like, it's also a free channel, but there is the paid version, which like nothing's uncensored and stuff like that. And it's like the craziest exploitation stuff. And like from the 70s, 80s, and just like B horror movies galore, crazy action movies from all over the world. And you can just, well, it's a 7-day pass, so you can just watch it for 7 days, like a library card, right? You're just borrowing their library's account. But then you can just reopen it up again, borrow it again for another 7 days afterwards. You have like 21 rentals per month on the Hoopla account. So it's like you can get a free subscription.
Cool.
But I'm watching all sorts of crazy stuff on there at night, like when the baby's asleep. Like it's bananas. Like it is a really, really decent subscription. Like it might be worth like some people's money, but like since you can get it through the library, I'm like, oh, this is totally worth it. I'm really enjoying watching like old kung fu movies from like the 70s. They have the crazy like acidy stuff from the 70s that was made in the US. It's really, really fun. I like stuff that you just wouldn't find anywhere else for some reason, because it's just it's too bad, too gory, too exploitive. It's really, really fun.
Even Tubi won't take it.
I know some of these are on Tubi, but they might be censored for Tubi, you know, like there are some of the movies on there. But like, if you can just watch it, like, what are we going to watch tonight? Tonight we might watch Double Target, you know, when a terrorist attacks a ravaged Southeast Asian, the U.S. government recruits former lieutenant and Marine such and such, you know, which is like the premise of all these other movies, but whatever. You know, it's
always, there's always an army guy involved.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. I highly recommend it.
Okay. No, I'm a big fan of Tubi. I hope they can continue to like access all of this free stuff. Cause when I start to like dig deep in there, I'm like, oh my God, this like, it's fucking incredible what's offered on there.
Oh yeah. No, you can type in anything and you'd be surprised. Like, yeah, it might be edited, but you could still watch it, you know?
Yeah. Like when I was example with Jack Frost, I saw obviously the one we watched and then I was like, oh, the second one is on here. And then it popped up after I was finishing watching it. It was like, we recommend Leprechaun 3. And I was like, thanks, Tubi. You know me so well.
It's like a good friend, you know? Like, all right. Like this is kind of like, it's not horror-esque, but it was horror adjacent because it's a movie directed by George Romero.
Oh, right? Okay.
But I've never heard of this fucking movie ever. It's called Knight Riders, right? And Ed Harris from Westworld.
Yeah. Right? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is some sort of cult leader, but at like a Ren Faire, whose gimmick is that they're like knights on motocross, right? And they do these little performances, right? But they're not about the money. Ed Harris thinks he runs Camelot, and it's all about the ideals of like just being free and not having to worry about money. But mind you, they're fucking broke, and they just want to like not conform to society. They want to do their own thing, but they're also struggling and they have no money.
And what a little like a predicament that is.
Yeah, it's like it's very filled with like sentiments of the 70s and like anti-capitalism, and it's just like, you know, a little bit of folk, but they don't explain what his ideals are, other than like everybody just keeps saying that like, we're here for you, Billy. His name is Billy, right? Because it's the 70s, right? And he's the cult leader, but whatever. Or he's the leader of the gang. And he really, like, movie starts off with Ed Harris naked in a forest, cheeks out, him praying to Excalibur for some reason, right? Because he thinks he's fucking King Arthur, whatever the fuck. And he,
this sounds exactly like something Ed Harris would do in real life.
This is, and for some reason, but Ed Harris also has a suicide kind of like he kind of has like a little bit of a death wish. Like he's really kind of praying that somebody takes him out in one of these night duels because he keeps getting hurt and he keeps getting himself in. And it just sounds like everybody's following this cult leader that really just kind of wants to kill himself, which is kind of really weird. And he's got a magician named Merlin.
He has a magician.
Just a black guy with a harmonica, you know? I'm just like, okay.
Wait, what scatting. Do you do? He just, harmonica.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, boobity-bop-bop. I was like, oh, they really did that, you know?
Oh, no. They made him scat.
And with cameos by Stephen King and his wife, you know, in the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Gotta love a Stephen King cameo.
And there's a lot of characters in this movie that they don't revisit. And the movie is 2 hours long. It's a long fucking movie for like a movie about motocross and the freedom that motocross provides. And these guys are in their night outfit. They have motorcycle helmets, but they're decked out to look like night helmets. It's actually kind of fun. The fact that they spent this much money and they were kind of serious about it. I don't know how it ends. I haven't gotten there yet because it's a long movie.
You haven't even finished it yet.
Haven't even finished it. I feel like Ed Harris is going to commit suicide by the end of it, but he's the only thing holding this group together. But they don't explain what they believe in, other than that they're anti-money and the pro-freedom.
Okay. Or just anti-capitalist, which fair.
Fair. But then you think about it today. Everybody wants to sell out. Everybody's looking for...
Because it's fucking money. Hard out there. I think everyone's just like, I just need to make some money. And we're tired of this fucking... We're tired of the man, dude. Like, it's just... There's no pleasing. You can't do anything right. So we're all like, well, what? Like, trying 100%. To follow the rules. But then you tell me the rules aren't the correct way. So what do you want? I don't know.
Oh, and then it keeps getting pushed, right? So then you got to do a little bit more, and then you got to do a little bit more, and it's just like a never-ending kind of a deal. Like the whole thing with like art on social media is like, oh, cool, I got to put my art on social media, and you guys like my stuff. But now all of a sudden it becomes a new job where now I have to do this performative thing for you guys and keep doing it on and on again, over and over again.
Yeah.
To get more views, to get more likes, to get more money. Yeah.
And then even when you do get those likes and you do get the comments, the money is like $3. You're like, wait. I was like, it's a lot of freaking work. It is a lot of work. And like social media has become this thing where people just want to take advantage of it and being like, well, it doesn't take that long. You're just uploading a picture. And you're like, no, it really fucking does. Like, and you know, as an artist, you're like, I just want to share my art. And just what feels natural. But then, like you said, you're like, you get pressured to be like, well, I need to be on trend. I need to be making sure that I'm posting this and that. And it's like, we just want to have fun.
I need
fun.
To be posting constantly.
Constantly, all the time, stories, da 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 da. And you're like, that takes the essence of why I do this. Like,
because frequency and consistency are attributed to views, and then views are attributed to likes, and then likes are attributed to fucking money or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But of course, if you're doing it once a week, nobody's going to see your shit. But of course, if I'm uploading 3-4 times a day, it was just like, but that's just a job now. Now,
yeah.
Now I'm just,
like, but I also work full time. Like, I work full time and have other part time jobs on top of that. Like, it's tough. It's tough. We're all 100%. Trying our best. We're all human beings, but it's fucking hard.
No, it's a fucking nightmare. You know, yeah. It's a nightmare. It's fucking late stage capitalism. It's a real life horror situation, but we're here. And we're partly to do this. We also want to make a little bit of careers out of this. Me and you.
We do.
But we also like doing this.
Exactly. We keep showing up because we like doing this. We like, you know, the social aspect of it. We're friends, but yeah, like, of course we want to see the end goal be bigger. We care. And it sucks when you have to like put so much energy into your other jobs because that is what your income is, when you're like, no, but I'd rather be doing this.
Yeah, like, 100%.
Yeah.
I'd rather just talk about Knight Riders for 2 hours about this fucking bizarre ass mother.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a fucking, like, it's just like, who in their right motherfucking mind would make this fucking movie? That's just the box. That's the things you're going to kind of find on that channel.
Okay. That's fine. I like that.
I was just thinking, like, I got to talk to Courtney about this, because I'm just like, Courtney, in what fucking world would you be able to make a premise for a movie where a serial killer gets turned into a snowman and goes on a rampage in a fucking town? Like, you can't make a movie like that now. I mean, maybe you could, but just a much tighter budget.
You might if you had the money. Like, obviously, if you were some, like, Nepo baby or something, you're like, actually, yeah, that's a great idea. And everyone feeds into it being like, yeah, yeah, yes, 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 yes. It could be made. But
because that reminds me, that's like another thing I was thinking about. Like, a lot of these things on YouTube, I've been watching a lot of horror shorts on YouTube. And I know a lot of those guys are trying to get greenlit into watching bigger movies because, like, if they like, because I think that's how Lights Out got made.
Yes, it is.
They made a short. I don't know if they released it anywhere, and then it got picked up and to be made into a bigger movie. And I hear like the Lights Out movie is actually pretty good.
It is.
I actually never saw it.
I think you enjoy it. It is based on that short. I mean, I love that short, but the movie is decent. It's a good one.
But one of the ones that stands out is the one, did you hear in the news a little while ago? You know, that guy Curry, was it Curry Baker? The guy from That's a Bad Idea channel? You've seen their comedy shorts, like, because it's just like these two same guys just doing all these little comedy bits. And then the blonde guy is actually like a decent like horror director for like these little shorts that he did. Remember the chair one? The guy who picks up the chair on the side of the road, he takes it home.
Yes.
Dude, that's him.
Okay.
It's never, once you show you the picture of this dude, you're going to be like, this dude directed it. Like, I don't know when he directed. He must've been like super young when he did it. But like I said, he's doing a comedy channel too, because he's got to get likes, got to get, you know, you got to get people to come in and watch all that stuff. So it's
comedy's
just like
an easier market.
Yeah, but he also did one recently where him and his friend starred in, where they do a prank channel, and then like the pranks get a little too out of hand, and it's like almost like a full length movie. It's like an hour long on YouTube. That one's pretty good.
I can see myself getting into that one.
Yeah, the other one is it's like an end of the world sort of a scenario. That one's only like 10 minutes long. I think the chair one, which is like the most notable one, because that one like won awards, I think, or people were just really high reviews on that one. But that one, it's like he took a little bit more serious, and like him and his friend aren't in it, where him and his friend aren't in all the other ones. So he's kind of like starring in them.
Yeah.
But The other one's the end of the world, and it's just like, it's like everybody knows the end of the world is going to end, like what you would do in that scenario. It's a little bit more hopeful. But yeah, kids got some chops, and it was really, really enjoyable. I highly recommend that if anybody is looking for anything to watch this holiday season, for sure.
I've been doing a lot of, this is like very, I don't know, Gen Z or Gen Alpha of me, but I've been watching a video game streamer play horror video games, and I just find it very entertaining. Like I mean, I want to play the horror games. His name's Case O. And not only is he just kind of very lovable and likable, because he realizes that there are a lot of children that watch his channel. So he will censor things and he won't curse. And I find that to be very sweet. But he's still so highly likable and highly enjoyable to watch. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of that.
Is it with a Q, Case O, or is it like...
No, K-C-A-S-O. Or C-A-S-E, and then O-H, Case O. So yeah, I don't know, I'm going to like dive deep onto him, and I just like, we'll just play it for like watch it for like 3 hours. I'll just have it on the background. And I was like, I don't know, I like this guy.
What's he playing specifically that you like?
The most recent one he was doing was just a compilation of like demo Christmas horror games. So one was like hiding from Santa, and I don't know. His commentary is very good.
I love it. Yeah. All right, Courtney. Well, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Happy Christmas. Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year.
All the good stuff.
I don't know if we'll get, no, we probably won't get one in before New Year. So we'll see everyone in 2025.
Yeah, we'll take... I think we'll take the, yeah, we'll do another one for January. We'll start up again in January. We can enjoy the holiday. We can do it. If you wanted to do a dead air later, we could do it because there's more Dexter info.
Oh my God. I have been reading so much about Dexter, but yeah, we don't have time for that today.
Yeah, no, that's not a today.
But we can
thing.
Do that's a dead air, you know, more Dexter.
Yeah, more Dexter, because that's what it sounds like. We're gonna have Dexter for a little while,
dude.
Yeah,
Dexter's coming back hot in 2025.
I didn't realize that because as all we were talking about all that Dexter stuff, that I guess we could leave this for the pod or whatever. But that he broke up with. All right, so he was married, and then he got with the other actress.
Jennifer Carpenter, who plays Deb.
And then he divorced Jennifer Carpenter to be with another actress on Dexter, which was just like,
awkward. Oh, I didn't know that. I guess yeah, I didn't know the depths of that.
The rumor was.
Well, he had cancer in the last season of the original Dexter. And I don't know.
I thought it was during, like around season 3 or 4.
No, like... Yeah. I think seasons 6 and 7, he was like battling it, which might contribute to some of his poor wig choices. But Jennifer Carpenter stayed with him through that. And then afterwards they got divorced. And my understanding was that it was kind of mutual, but who knows? I don't know these people.
The rumor was that he was dating Julia Stiles that was on the TV show.
In season 5. Okay.
And then they had divorced, or Jennifer Carpenter filed for divorce once she heard of the rumors and stuff like that. But well, yeah,
those are everywhere all the time. We don't know these people. I don't know their lives, but they're humans like the rest of us. So who the fuck knows?
Yeah, so go watch horror movies because people are awful. all right, well, we'll touch base. I'm calling it. I'm calling it right now. We're doing Dreamcatcher. We're going to do Demon Knight. We're just going to do all the fun stuff. Life is short.
We can do it back to back
if you want.
Demon Knight. Ooh, man. I'm going to have to get my notes ready for that one. I fell in love with Billy Zane, which says things about me.
You tell me which one you want to do first. And then we'll...
Let's do Dreamcatcher first. I think that's a good New Year one.
Yeah, well, whenever you want to do it, we'll do it, and then we'll throw in some other stuff. All right. Well, guys, thanks for watching. Hopefully this video will come out better than the last one, because last one, my mic kind of cut out on the last one. But we still had all the good audio for the other one. So
yes. Let's see.
But yeah, Courtney, have a wonderful holiday.
Have a happy holiday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.